was like, here, Nutella life. This is your calling.
Let there be Nutella. Hi, my name's Joe. I'm going to be your co-host today on another exciting episode of the First Podcast. With me, as always, I have Lars.
Hi, I'm Lars.
And joining us today, we have Kirsten Collins.
What's up?
Kirsten's actually been on the show since the beginning. This is just the first time she decided she wanted to talk. So let's actually discuss some things. So can you go ahead and tell us a little bit for the audience, a little bit about what you do and who you are and what you're working on right now?
Well, I'm Kirsten Collins, as we specified. I'm originally actually from Canada, and I've been doing music since I can remember. I think I came out singing. My mom was probably the most epic person in the world, just supporting me. And I grew up in a really cool family where they just were pushing you towards whatever you felt was what you were called to do. And so I've been in Los Angeles for the past 10 years back and forth and 3 years officially, and just really working and honing in on my craft and learning every day of my life in the music industry.
So I've been to Canada a couple times, but I'm not really familiar with how it kind of works out there. I imagine it's pretty similar, but what's the difference between living in Canada and the USA?
Ooh, there are some big differences, I think, especially now. But Canada has less people than California, actually, if I'm correct, and it's bigger than America. So it's a lot, where I'm from especially, it was more farmland and very chillin', and a lot of oil and gas companies and business-minded people, which is really cool because I got to grow up in that factor, but I was kind of the odd one out most of my life. So, but I was from the West Coast. It's so beautiful in Canada, actually. It's probably one of the cleanest places in the world. Like, it's stunning and cold, very freezing.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Minnesota, which was kind of close to Canada, and we just got brutal winters.
I feel like I could huddle up in a ball a million times over and over. But when I was a kid, I used to go outside and like wear a tank top and shorts in minus 40 degree weather.
Yeah, I used to be able to do that. I can't do that anymore. I'm grown too soft from California.
Same. I'm like, yep. Now the bittest of cold. I'm like, No thanks. Mm-hmm.
California, if it goes below 70, we're like, let me put on my sweater.
Also, if it rains, like, people just don't know what to do with that. They're like,
oh, yeah, it's so true. Like, I used to drive in blizzards. Like, there was transport trucks on the side of the road flipped over, and I would have to go through on, like, my stick shift and be like, I'm gonna do this. You know what I mean? Drive through.
Well, yeah, because you still have to go places. It just sucks. Yeah. I don't miss Minnesota at all, to be honest.
Me neither. I mean, I miss family, but other than that, you know, I don't know.
Is all of your family still up there?
Most of them, yeah. I have a huge family. My mom comes from 10 kids and my dad is 8 kids. And like, I think I have 40 first cousins and then like 20 second cousins and then hundreds and millions of other cousins. It's quite a
big
family.
Weird. Okay. That's kind of cool though.
Yeah, you know, keeps life interesting.
I can imagine the family reunions are kind of a whole, like, an ordeal.
They are. When I get to make them, then yes, they definitely are. Because, you know, when you get older, it's harder to go back and forth. So
we were actually talking about your new single, Call My Name, before the official start of the episode. And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that.
Yes. So Call My Name was kind of one of my songs that just, like, came out. Like, there was no really thought about it at first. It was just something I felt at that moment, which sometimes is kind of the best feeling of a song, is just, like, knowing it was a moment in time that you really felt something. I did it with these amazing producers called Dreamatics, and we were just chilling, and the vibe, I kind of usually love to belt, and I love to, like, I grew up on gospel music and, like, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, like, a bunch of, like, really soulful music, and I kind of usually want to do that, but with this song, I just felt like it should be, like, very chill and put into perspective of another side of who I was, and just kind of drawing people into a more, like, I don't know the word, but just kind of soft.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Out of curiosity, was there any inspiration behind that track?
I think I'm really learning right now the value of relaxation and of not trying to always strive for things, like to continue to like always be ambitious, I guess is the term. I'm kind of learning to that it's okay to sit down sometimes, and it's okay to be not okay, and to, you know, like enjoy the moment, which may seem like easy things, but for me, like even when I'm sick, I'm like, oh, what do I do with my life? Like, I need to work, you know? So it's something that I've really been learning. And so with that song, it kind of allowed me to just be in a somber moment.
Yeah, I think those are easy things to say that you want to achieve, and then actually achieving them can be more difficult. Joe, do you have a question for her?
What is like something that you miss about Canada, I guess, besides your family? Any
I love the mountains and probably a snowy Christmas, you know.
Oh yeah, we don't really have a snowy Christmas out here.
Sorry, and I haven't had one in like 3 years, so I'm like, should I go this year? I don't know.
So yeah, you've been out in LA for 3 years, right?
Oh, just about, yeah.
Do you start to like kind of consider it home? Like, this is where you've been for the recent past, or you're still like, Canada's your home?
In my heart, Los Angeles is definitely my home. I think that it was really cool to have a space that actually accepted you, you know, but didn't, but like, in a way, you have to bring your roots there so that you don't get pulled down in Los Angeles. But I really value that it's like a beautiful, like creative movement of different people and different frequencies of life, and getting to like kind of bounce off each other and who you are. And like, it's not so much weighing down in the perspective of who you are, rather than like other places, they have a little bit more of a general of who people should be. Whereas I think I meet so many different people every day of my life. You know, Los Angeles has that too, but it's a little bit of a different thing, you know, that you have to get not caught up in. But I think that this has been home where I've got to do what I love and be who I love to be.
For sure.
So
they say in LA, the people can be like either rude or just everybody's on the go all the time. Have you experienced that? Like, are the people ruder in LA than they are in the rest of the world? Or is that more of a myth in your opinion?
I don't know. I think it depends on who you talk to. Because as I was saying before, California has more people than all of Canada. So there's a lot more people squashed together. So I would think that they would be a little bit more on the edge, you know?
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but, you know, all in all, I think that there's rude and kind people in every place and in different times, you know? So I think it's more just who you're meeting and who you're surrounding yourself with, just like in any place.
So do you have any other passions other than music? Are there any other artistic endeavors that you've gotten into?
Yes. I mean, I love acting, I love modeling, photography, I love fashion. I'm starting to learn the beauty of makeup. I was never good at it growing up at all.
Me neither.
Nope, I'm stuck. Of course, right? My little sister, she is fabulous at it, and so she inspired me to be like, you know what, I'm gonna do it too. So I've been learning the ins and outs of it. I love to throw paint at walls and see how it goes. I love comedy. I don't know, I like to dabble into a lot of different things because I feel like it will enhance my wisdom in my craft, and I feel like I'm always gonna learn and grow no matter if I'm like super good at something, I'm still not excellent, you know, yet, because someone else has something I've never known before.
All of that sounded really normal, except for one part of it. I'm just kind of curious. So you just go to people's houses and you throw paint on their walls?
No. What's that all about? I wish that would be so much.
Is that your walls?
No, like a canvas. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I've always I always wanted a house where there was a big white room and I could just throw paint everywhere. And it would just be like people could come in and throw paint at it and it would just be like abstract.
It'd be fun for a couple months, and then at the end of it, it's just
all paint.
Don't ruin my dreams, okay?
You could just paint it white and start over again.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Like every 3 months, you just start over.
I'll hire someone to paint it white so I don't have to.
Yeah. You should start a house painting business, but don't tell them your plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You got to live your dream.
I have to. What am I doing without it?
Yeah. By the way, I actually did see, I was researching you for the episode, and you have a an IMDb page, right? You've actually been involved in some projects, right?
I have, a little bit of them. I was in a movie in Kipling, Saskatchewan. I don't know if you've ever been there. If you haven't, It is very cold, Saskatchewan, and a lot of prairie lands.
I haven't been there, no.
I don't recommend going there. You know, you might dabble in the flowers a little bit and pretend like you're a prairie person, but I don't know.
Just send me a picture of it. I don't have to actually go there.
But I was 14 in a movie called Rust, and have been in a little bit of short films as well, but I'm starting to maybe go more, deeper into the acting world, because it is a different, career set than singing. They can go together very well, but they definitely have different vibes to them, so.
Do you prefer to be in front of the camera or behind it?
Always in front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I will do behind, but I, since I was a little girl, I loved the attention, and I always know it was one of my weaknesses, so in order to know your weaknesses, then you can make it a strength.
What kind of movies do you like, or the genre of movies that you would like to participate in?
I love action and mystery and a little bit of comedy, but I like clever comedy. I'm a big believer in movies that can draw your attention without major sex scenes or crazy things in it, just so that they can cleverly get you engaged, that really resonate with where you're at or like something you're going through.
So you like it when it's a little bit more subtle?
Yeah, like so that it's like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, sure, it happened, but I don't have to witness it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any movies that stand out as classics from your childhood, or just movies that you've seen that have really stuck with you?
Besides the Emoji Movie?
Yeah, right? Emoji Movie. I loved Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, but that was on the other side of life. I don't know. I love animation. So I love Big Hero 6. And
that was great. Yeah.
That's a great movie. And Three Billboards actually really hit me hard. I don't know. It was really well done, because it was something that I couldn't pinpoint very often, which was nice, because usually you can tell where the movie's going. But that movie, I had no idea. So that was really nice to have. And a list goes on, but somehow they've missed my brain right now, so they're gone.
Oh, that's fine.
That's all right. We can circle back. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, let's go to the next media. What are some artists that you admire and that you tend to listen to?
I love Rihanna. She is amazing. And Justin Timberlake, Billie Eilish. I like Khalid.
Khalid is great.
Oh, he's amazing.
I don't mean to sound like hipster about this, but like I was first listening to him when he was just starting to come into the public eye, and I'm like, this guy's going to make it.
Yep. See, there you go.
Yeah.
You had that eye.
He has cool hair too.
My mom feels that way about Justin Bieber. She believes
that he's gonna make it someday.
He'll make it someday.
His time is still coming.
There's so many good artists I think I find every day. Like They, I like They. I like Black. I like I like a lot of hip hop urban music. But I also love like soul music, so, and dance music. So I'm kind of one of those crazy, like, I like Hardwell, I like Cascade, Illenium, so, yeah.
Cascade ain't bad. I like a few of his tracks.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I got, he performed at one of these events that I was at as a private concert, and I was so excited because I was the first one on the dance floor, and I was like, woo,
oh, cool.
Here we go.
Have you, are there any of these artists that you've actually performed with, or have you done any cool collabs?
Not yet, no, but I've discussed some things with some of the artists, but, you know, it's the music industry. You have to wait and be patient in things, you know, and not push your way through. So one step at a time.
Yeah, like the month we waited to record with you.
Exactly. I know that. I do appreciate that.
Are you a fan of any oldies? 60s, 70s, 80s, or whatever?
I mean, of course, Michael Jackson is, like, amazing, and Amy Winehouse, amazing, mm-hmm. and... You know, Aretha Franklin, amazing. So
legend.
Yeah. The legends will stay strong for life. It's kind of crazy.
You like the Beatles?
I do, but I don't really know a lot of songs of the Beatles. Like, I do, but, like, not off by heart, if that makes sense. Like, I love that.
You probably heard them, like, you'd recognize them, because they're just out in pop culture.
Exactly, yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel?
No, don't know that one.
No. Well, that's okay. It was, they were big back in the day. They don't really perform anymore.
Aren't they dead?
No, they're not dead.
I should probably fact check that. Yeah.
You know.
Okay, so one of our traditions on the show is to ask some hypothetical questions to the guests. And if you're down for that, we'll ask you a couple.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So let's say that tomorrow, for no apparent reason, someone shows up at your door and they say that they have 20,000 tons of Nutella and they're just going to give it to you. And it's just your problem now. What would you do with it?
Oh my goodness. I don't even know. I love Nutella, but I could never eat that much Nutella. I'd probably give it away.
Not with that attitude. You could sell it. Like, that's what a lot of people have said they would do.
Yeah. You know, the first thought in my head was just giving it away. Maybe I should sell it. What is my mindset?
You could give away a free copy with every CD.
Exactly. There you go.
Anybody want some Nutella?
Here's the thing. It's 20,000 tons of Nutella, not 20,000 pounds. That's actually 40 million pounds of Nutella. So, yeah, that's
if
like
you
a...
you sold all that off, it might be even more profitable than music at that point.
At that point, yeah. I don't know what I would be doing in the music industry. It should just be... Yeah. First
the
off,
money's
I want to know
Nutella.
Why this Nutella stopped at my door, you know? Like, why
fate.
Did this person...
Fate, yeah.
It was fate.
The Lord was like, here, Nutella life. This is your calling.
Let there be Nutella.
So, let's say you... Lars, correct me if I'm not getting this right.
You're not getting it right.
You are a duck... For,
okay, no, let me do it. You're just butchering it. Just awful. Yeah. Okay.
How dare you butcher it?
So
you go ahead, Lars.
Okay. Suppose someone approaches you, and it's not creepy or weird, it's just normal. Like, they're offering you $2 billion, and it's legitimate. Like, you'll be given $2 billion, but you have to spend the next 4,300 years as a duck.
Oh.
Would you take it?
No, I would not.
Why not?
I don't know what I would do as a duck.
Just duck things.
Well, you wouldn't really, like, you'd just have the mind of the duck for that time period. Like, you wouldn't be bored or anything. You'd just be like, quack.
So I would be a duck, but I wouldn't be a human. Yeah.
You wouldn't be a human. You would forget about being a human for 4,300 years.
You'd just be a series of ducks. And then at the end of it, you go right back to this moment.
You could either keep your duck memories or not.
Yeah.
Would you keep your duck memories if you did live 4,300 duck years?
Okay, I have a question. Do I turn into a duck as soon as I take the money? Or do I have time to put the money...
You don't actually turn into a duck. Like, your consciousness just transfers into a series of ducks.
For 4,300 just duck years.
And then
years.
You go right back to the moment before all this started.
And then you get the money.
So what are duck years?
Like, you're just a duck living...
What are duck years?
Yeah, like, it's the same.
Like, what's 1 year? Like, dogs 7 years and 1 year.
I'm not sure what the conversion rate on that is.
But it's like, if a duck's lifetime was, like, 1 year or 5 years, you would just do that for like, 4,300 years.
Well, and hopefully I don't die as a duck.
If you die, you just become a new duck.
A new duck, yeah.
Oh, you become a new duck. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Series of ducks.
Yeah, you're no danger at all. Like, nothing actually happens of consequence to you.
And let's say you have no memory of dying as a duck or being born. It's just the duck life.
The duck life.
Let's, just to make it simple.
The duck life.
Yeah.
This is a new thing. I want to be in the duck life.
Yeah. Let's say we give you 10% off, 3,850 duck years for the 2 billion.
Yeah, what's the maximum amount of duck years that you would live in?
What's the maximum amount? How about like 10 duck years, you know?
And you would do that? 10 duck years for...
Yeah.
I'm hoping the duck years are like a month. So it'd be like a year of my life, you know?
Would you, wait, your life at all, your life itself wouldn't be affected. Like, you just go back to this moment at the end of it.
Yeah. You would just have the massive duck wisdom.
Yeah.
Did you guys come up with this yourself?
Yeah, this is something I've busted out at parties for years.
Have you wanted to be a duck?
Well, it's not that I want to be a duck. It's just that, you know, if someone is offering $2 billion, I mean, I'd consider it for a while. I don't know.
All right. I'll consider it.
I've thought about what it's like to be a duck. It must be serene, except like when you're being attacked or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We really take for granted the fact that we're, you know, humans and we're not really in danger of dying from other animals in most cases.
This is true.
I don't know.
So do you have anything upcoming, by the way, Kirsten?
I do. I have a new single coming out next month, and then I have 4 music videos that I am preparing, that I filmed last month, that I'm preparing to see when I should put them out. Yeah.
Are they any good?
No, they're terrible. They're absolutely horrible.
Oh.
Oh, you should have done good ones.
I know.
You could have just lied and said yes. I don't know, like...
No, they're amazing. I'm like really excited about them.
Did you make them yourself, or did you work with some other people?
I worked with different people for each one, which is very cool. Actually, I got a different perspective on different songs, and one of the music videos I'm really excited about, because it's not like a typical music video that I've done, where I'm actually like lip singing a song and like being in the vibe and dancing. It's more of like a short film inside of the 3 minutes. So I'm kind of excited to see how that turns out. Yeah, and then another one, and then I got 2 dancing videos coming out, so it'll be fun.
So if people wanted to check some of these out, like at least your older material, and then if they wanted to be able to follow you so they could check out those music videos and the new single, what are the ways that they can do that?
You can go on YouTube to look at any music videos or any covers that I've done in the past or currently coming out. And then also Spotify, Apple Music, pretty much anything. You can check out any of my music. And to keep kind of like a tab on me, usually Instagram is where I'm most local on there to kind of prepare the people for what's next.
What's your handle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my handle. That's probably a good thing to know. At Kirsten Collins Music. So KirstenCollins Music.
All right. And a little side note, by the way. You mentioned some covers. I noticed you're pretty big on doing covers. Is there any particular reason for that? Are you just inspired to try to do a new take on someone else's stuff? Or
Actually, this is a really interesting question, because growing up, I actually hated doing covers. I'm one of those people that when I get on stage, I don't like to prepare anything. I like to see and write the song on the spot. Like, I'll grab a random person from the audience and bring them on stage and kind of write the song there. But I really had to learn the beauty of covers and how it could help me build not only my audience, but also myself, and how I can take classics and different people's art and make it my own. So for a while, I did a lot of collaborations with different cover artists and kind of built myself in that way as well. So that was kind of fun, and I continued to do that as well, because it also helps in what I'm doing. It kind of all collaborates together, and I think that's the beauty of what the industry is right now, is like what we're doing right now, collaborating with people and kind of getting different perspectives and, you know, engaging. So, yeah.
I think I know the answer to this question already, but do you think that you're a better musician having done some of those covers?
Definitely. I think that everything that I do makes me better at what I'm doing. You know, I think that I've had to really humble myself in a lot of ways, because... You know, when you're doing music and entertainment, you obviously have to know that you love this and that you're good at it. But also, like, there's a beauty in knowing that there's room, as I said before, to grow. So I always want to be continually, like, pursuing not only my craft, but, like, who I am as a character. Because that, initially, music is frequencies of life. Like, it's more than just I'm giving you a song or I'm famous. You know, like, there's such... responsibility in your hands of like carrying life or death in so many ways. And
yeah, because you're technically a role model to some of these people, whether you are even aware of it or whether you like it or not. So there's definitely some responsibility there.
It's a part of the job, and that's something that not a lot of people actually understand at first, and it's sad, because then they get in a thing that's not so fun for them, and they get trapped in things. And so I've really had an amazing support system from my family, and just being out here in Los Angeles, and just, you know, knowing the worth of boundaries and respect and honor and of people, like so many different people that you work with, making sure that they're honored in that, you know? And I think that that's the cool part about music or the creative business in general, is that we get to dictate where it goes as long as we stand on something, you know?
Yeah, I think music in particular has this unique benefit of it being like you can very artistically express yourself in ways that like a TV show is always just kind of going to be a TV show. A movie is always going to be like a movie at the end of the day. But music, you can really take that wherever you want. So that's like I've dabbled a little bit in myself, and I really appreciated the ability to just have a complete blank slate, do whatever I wanted with it. And
that's so cool. See, that's that. And the funny thing about music, too, is that there's so many different types of music that it actually switches the mood instantaneously, or the vibe or the atmosphere in any occasion. So it's really cool. Someone was saying this the other day, which was really cool to me, is like media in general. Like, you can go to a place that has no food for the kids, but they'll have a One Direction blanket. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's something that if those people understand their power of like knowing how to like speak into people's lives, then that's such a big impact, you know, for people all around the globe. And that's why social media has been such a huge thing too, because at first social media was kind of scary. I mean, you know, I wasn't allowed to go on social media growing up. And then when my brother did it, and he was the shyest kid ever, and it was the first thing in his life that really impacted him to talk to people. And it was cool because I got to see, when I posted around a photo one time, I got 3 messages, and they were so long about like how someone decided to stop cutting themselves, someone decided to fix a relationship with their mom, and someone wanted to live again. And that right there, like that pushed me to know exactly why I was doing what I was doing. You know, it wasn't just about me. And I love big audiences. Like, I love the millions of people, but I really had to learn that the individual is who I'm actually speaking to. Like, in a million people crowd, I'm speaking to a million individuals. And so it's really humbled me to kind of like regain that strength of being vulnerable for whatever I'm doing, because it's not just about me. And so, yeah, every day it's an ongoing learning curve, I guess. I even forgot the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, we just kind of let you go on there because it seemed like you had a lot on your mind. So,
well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So before we cap this off, let's just ask you a quick question to kind of end things. Do you have any dream collabs that you'd really like to do someday?
Oh, I have so many dream collabs. I don't know. I really want to work with Justin Timberlake and Rihanna. I know most everybody does, but I really want to, in the music world, I wish Michael Jackson as well, but, you know, maybe one day in heaven we'll go for it.
I'm an unironic fan of Justin Timberlake. I can't hit him. Like, he puts out quality stuff.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, too. So.
I love that he's not afraid to do something different. I think that that's what encourages me, is that it's not just the same. Like, every song, like even his last album, every song is very different. And Eminem also is like, it shocked me. Like, yeah, he, you know, he has a lot of pain, and it makes sense. Like, the industry is quite hard. But he had like a different melodic structure in every verse, and everything made sense and made you think. And that was something that, like, I love music that makes you think, like, that makes you question life. Like, what's my next steps? You know, like, that's interesting. I should learn about that. You know, and so I kind of love artists that pursue more than just feelings, I guess, but shift things.
One thing that's one artist that's kind of similar in that sense, in that I think he kind of changes things up almost on every track, is Bruno Mars. I like how he's very unique in his style. Like,
yeah,
it's influenced by pop, obviously, but it's very different.
It's him. It's
yeah.
It's got oldies in it too, like some vibes, and he just goes for it, and I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely cool. I agree.
Bruno Mars, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show.
Come on the show.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I mean, seriously, it's a pleasure. So it's been nice to virtually meet you.
Yeah, I've enjoyed myself. I thought this was a funny episode, but it also kind of it got introspective at times. Those have usually been my favorite interviews on this show so far.
That's good.
Got a little deep.
Well, I go on for hours, so don't get me going.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'd love to sit with you all day, but we actually have another guest coming on for another interview later tonight. So That's probably good.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for all your patience, first off, and for having me. I'm really blessed to be a part of it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad we could finally have you on. All right. So this has been another exciting episode of The First Podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you can at linktr.ee/thefirstpodcast. That has all of our social media links. And if you're a fan of the show and you want to show some support, you can go ahead and head to patreon.com/firstpodcastever. Other than that, I think that's going to do it.
Thanks for joining us. My name's Joe. I've been your co-host tonight. And with me, as always, Lars. Mm-hmm. And a special guest tonight, thanks for joining us, Kristen.
Woo!
Hopefully you'll want to speak up again on another episode, but you've been kind of quiet, so.
Have me anytime, okay? I'll be there.
We'd love to have you back on.
All right.
All right, that's going to do it. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.